Hello and welcome to episode 57 of Good Copy, Bad Copy. I'm David Maguire, Creative Director here at Radix Communications, and I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, our founder and lead copywriter.
Hello.
And also, filling in for the tragically departed Emily, we have...
She hasn't departed the earthly plane, we should say. She's only departed from Radix.
Yes. Well said.
You did sound very cheery, considering that.
I'm not very cheery. I have no desire to be the presenter. It feels bad that Emily's not here. But we're happy that George Reith, our content lead and copywriter, is keen to come along and fill in the gap for today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
So this month we're going to be exploring how to write awesome event summaries and other content that comes out of client events. When you consider the amount of work that goes into preparing a conference, an exhibition, or even a roundtable, it's no wonder clients often like to invite a copywriter along to write it all up, get that bit more value out of their work. But how do you get it right? If you have any questions or comments about this episode, do feel free to drop us an email at podcast@radix-communications.com or just tweet us at radixcom. So Fiona and George, you're both now highly experienced in writing up events for clients. So let's start with some of the pitfalls and the things you can get wrong, the horror stories. What would be your big tips for things not to do when you're writing about events for clients?
Well, I would say, and this is the kind of thing that, you know, might wake you up in the night or cause you to have an anxiety dream. But I would say don't rely just on audio recording the proceedings. So, I mean, I think overall one of the most important things to consider when you're writing up an event is how you're going to actually capture the information. But if you just rely on audio and for some reason your audio recording equipment doesn't work and then you've got nothing, then you can't actually do the job. So that would be the biggest pitfall from my point of view.
Are you talking from painful personal experience?
Sort of, yes. Yeah, I have had audio recording fail on me, but luckily I was taking notes as well, so it wasn't so bad.
Oh, nice, saved.
It kind of goes the other way as well, I think, in that thankfully I haven't had this at a client event, but I've definitely had that experience where you're just typing up notes, whether it's like for a client call or for something else, and then your computer blue screens the moment you're about to save it, and you're like, no, I don't have an audio recording to back this up. So I think, yeah, two methods of recording something is good.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I have the thing where I don't do that because I write everything with a pencil. But then I have the worst handwriting known to man. It's like I could have been a doctor, but they kicked me out because my handwriting wasn't good enough. So that's the thing where I come back and go, what was that word? So having a second method, I think, is great. George, do you have anything else to add, or was your tip sort of the flip side of Fiona's one?
No, not necessarily, although I think Fiona's tip was a very good one to start on. I think for me, one of the things I would say to avoid is I think it's very tempting when you're the writer who's been brought in to feel like you're very separate to the event. You know what I mean? Like, you're not involved in that industry. You're just there to cover it. And it's quite easy to isolate yourself as like, you know, no, I'm the writer. Or I just sit here and listen and type it all up. But actually, I think there's an immense value at these events, being able to talk to people and sort of learn a bit more about that industry, network, meet new people. It's all very nice, isn't it? And you might as well do it while you're there. Now, I'm not saying you should go so far that you don't do your job of correctly recording and chronicling the event. Don't get too carried away. But I think going the opposite and sort of staying silent and not talking to anyone is a missed opportunity, really.
I always turn up at these things as an outsider and then try and, you know, pick up what's going on. I always feel like Morgan Freeman in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I am not one of you, but I fight with Robin Hood. Just me? Just me. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think what you're saying about the other side, you know, that it is really easy to get distracted. I think that was one of my things to not do. I mean, you know, chatting to everybody is great. But I know that, for example, I've often written up these kind of round table dinner events, the kind of the dinner summits that some of the tech companies do. And that's something where, you know, don't expect to eat. You know, it's like I get the number of times I've been in, you know, sitting in the corner in a really nice 5-star hotel, really nice restaurant, and this food comes out and it looks gorgeous and they're chatting and I'm making notes and I'm making more notes and the food's getting cold and I'm still making notes and the food's taken away and I'm still making notes and then it's finished and I'm getting a kebab on the way home.
Well, at least you had the opportunity of food. You know, I've been to events where I've sort of just been sort of hidden behind a curtain while the proceedings have been going on, and then, you know, just to go and get something from Pret afterwards.
See, I'm not sure if being hidden away and separated like that is better or worse. I was at one recently where I was kind of just sat in on a big table with loads of other people, and in this whole room with about, must have been about 100 people, I was the only one with a laptop just typing away, and I was so self-conscious about how loud I type. Yeah. I could just feel everybody staring daggers at me behind my back because I was there clunking away.
That's actually a good point, George. That is another one of the pitfalls, is if you're expecting to go to an event and use your laptop to type up notes, which I like, that's my personal preference for taking notes, and then you realise that it's a very quiet event and you're just really annoying all the people around you by tapping away, and then they eventually tell you to stop. It's like that's when you have to have your other backup method. So that's when, you have to have your laptop and your audio recording going.
Oh, I'm just delighted to hear all of this, because often I'm about the only person here that makes notes without a laptop, I think.
I genuinely cannot read my own writing. Yeah. It would be pointless.
It's never stopped me. Mine ends up being, I draw arrows and spider diagrams and things. And I often feel like such a Luddite for being, you know, in a kind of a tech copywriting company and being the only one that's not so techie that I'm just there with my laptop the whole time. I've got a pencil. And I always feel bad.
There's a lot of benefit to that. I think even Microsoft Word would struggle to somehow corrupt a hard document on paper.
It would give it a good go, though.
Oh,
it
would try.
You open your notebook and suddenly it starts to install updates.
It's just in Wingdings and you're like, how did this happen? Mind you, that's probably how my writing looks sometimes, actually, so there we go.
I'll tell you another don't that I had for writing up events, and that's, I mean, depending on what the brief is, obviously, but don't try to include everything.
Yeah.
I've made the, you know, error of when I'm trying to turn somebody's, because often as well as just writing up an event summary, it'll be attend, listen to the talks, and turn a presentation into a blog post, or create a blog post, and to try and blow by blow write up everything that's in the present, a 45-minute presentation, you're not, of course, with the longest blog post in the entire world that you've probably not quoted for writing something that huge. And it just takes too much time, and then it's too long, and it doesn't lend itself, you know, so focus in rather than try and deliver. I mean, obviously, if the thing that you're supposed to do is an event summary, then even then it's still a summary. But if you're creating something based on the event, focus would be a tip that I'd share, maybe, rather than try and include it all, because you can just drive yourself mad. It doesn't translate that well.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that, you know, our job as writers is to find the story and tell the story. So, you know, if you were going to try to include everything, you might as well just record it and then publish the transcript. Mm-hmm. I think our job is to, you know, look at the entirety of what's been said and then pick out, you know, what is the interesting theme, or what is the interesting story, or what is the interesting narrative here, and write that up.
Yeah, and it kind of helps to have a skeleton written out, because I think I've kind of listened to things and gone, oh yeah, I'll talk a bit about that and a bit about that and a bit about that, and then it's just ended up being, oh, hang on, this is way bigger than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think actually that's one of the really good benefits, I think, of not relying solely on an audio recording, is whether you're doing it by paper like you do or on a computer, you can kind of, while you're making those notes, you can quickly bold it or you can underline it or whatever and go like, this is the bit. You know, when you hear that bit in a presentation where you're like, this is the core of what this is about, it can really help with the writing later, I find, when you have those highlighted.
Yeah.
You know, and often I'll put like a big star next to it and I'll put a time, I'll note the time that I've made that, so that I know where to find it in the audio recording. If there's a bit that I want to refer back to, so you can kind of cross-reference the two.
And actually, that makes me think, you know, that point, actually going to an event and attending the event, because sometimes, you know, we write up, we'll watch a webinar and write it up as a blog post. Mm. But actually going to an event and attending an event and watching that presentation, and there are people in the audience, and you see which bits of the presentation people in the audience react to. Mm. You know, when there's a kind of sharp intake of breath, or, you know, people start murmuring, then you know that's the bit that struck a chord with the audience. So that's the bit you want to include, or maybe even focus on in the write-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kind of moving on to, you know, when things have gone well and what's been involved when we've written our best content from these things. I think certainly, you know, that thing where you can kind of either see a moment that resonates and bring that to the fore, or to talk about an overarching theme that's emerged through the day, that almost as an outsider, you know, as someone that hasn't organised the event, that is just sitting there, experience it, watching people, you kind of get a sense of this, that maybe sometimes the organisers don't. You know, they don't really know what's landed necessarily, or how the day has shaped, how, you know, things have, all the talks have chimed together on a certain point. And that thing where you attend and get the flavour, I think, is really important.
Yeah, and that I think that's particularly good when you're going to industry conferences where there's a lot of different people from different organisations presenting. Because if you go to a client conference, it's generally the client's messaging and the client's point of view. Whereas if you go to an industry conference, I went to one recently when one of our clients was keynoting, but there was, you know, lots of other organisations there as well. And you could just see the topic, which was GPS vulnerabilities, GPS hacking. You can see it presented from all of these different points of view. So there's a kind of overarching theme, but there's all these different stories and, you know, different anecdotes, which is just wonderful. It really enriches the subject matter.
Absolutely. And I think one of the sort of things I remember, it was an event I went to, it was like a launch party for a software development startup who had like this really quite quirky tone of voice. And so, like, you know, the moment I was being sent to this, I was like, right, I really need to make sure we get this sort of feel of it. And I think one of the things that worked very well was basically kind of just working the room a bit and having a chat with some of the people who were there attending as well. And I just got some fantastic quotes from people talking about this really bizarre sort of event space it was in. And it just really helped give a bit of colour to the piece, having quotes not just from the speakers, but from the people attending about how they felt about it and all that sort of stuff. It really helped round out the piece.
So you actually kind of dropped in verbatim quotes from...
Yeah, just from other people. I just think it's sort of one of these things, isn't it, where it's a show, don't tell. It's, you know, if it's that brand going on about, oh, how great was our event, you know, that's one thing. But if it's just a guy who was attending and was really interested and really intrigued by it all, that speaks much louder, I think.
Great. So would you say that was one of the better events? How much of it was about it being a really great event? Or how much of it was just about you being an awesome copywriter?
Well, you know, I'd love to tell you it was all on me, but the event itself was nice. And I think, to be fair as well, it's one of these things where, you know, that one was a particularly extreme example. It was held in like this secret bar that you needed like a password to get into, and it was all, you know, very very quirky and cool. But I think, you know, regardless of what kind of event you go to, you know, people put a lot of work into making them really cool and interesting. And I think whether it's a more standard industry event conference, you know, there will be some sort of theme, there'll be a mood on the floor, and I think capturing that is a really important part of the job, really.
Fiona, can you think of an example that you've particularly enjoyed or it's gone particularly well?
Well, this is my absolute favourite type of project or assignment. I love going to write up events. An example of where it's gone particularly well, I think one recently I went to a conference just before Christmas, which is actually a week-long conference. So 5 days of conference, done by one particular technology company. I just really enjoyed it because it was a massive logistical challenge, because I had to be in practically every single session, and, you know, had to organise how to get all the information out of each session and then think about, you know, how we're going to... Because the job was to write up a blog for each of these sessions. So, you know, you come out with 24, 25 blogs. So it's just thinking about how am I going to manage this? I think I just like the logistics of it. How am I going to manage this as a logistical challenge? You know, make something interesting out of each session, you know, and then you start to be able to like bring in things people have said in one session and kind of add that to the story told in another session. Just thinking about it now, it's also the one opportunity that we get to see the client and their audience in the same place. So, you know, often like we're interviewing customers for a case study, but the client's not there, or we're talking to the client about something, but the audience isn't there. And it's just a really good opportunity to see the client, see the audience, and see the kind of rapport between the two.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see, you know, certainly some of our clients, their customers are pretty much fans.
Yeah.
You know, and they have that real relation, you know, relationship with them, and they've kind of really bought into it. And it's nice to kind of hear that, you know, but sometimes it's just nice to kind of stand in the background and watch sales or technical people answering sales or technical questions, you know, even just standing on a client's exhibition stand, watching their customer service people, you know, or their event people, you know, do the job. You go, okay, so that's how you talk about that thing, and that's what that person cares about. Well, so those logistics of that week-long conference, see, that sounds like a nightmare to me. That sounds like a living hell, and you're grinning like it was the best thing ever.
I like quite massive, complicated projects, and I like planning the logistics of them.
Was that more fun than
the writing? The writing was fun as well. It was all good. I loved it. It was great.
Was there a particular moment or a particular surprise that came out of that event, or you know, a particular presentation that you managed to spin in a certain way for a blog, but you know, a thing that struck you as a particular high point?
I don't think there's a particular high point, but I think one of the interesting aspects is a lot of the presentations were structured in a way that I would not use that structure for the blog. So I think an interesting part of the challenge was to look at, this was the presentation structure, but I don't think this is the structure that would work for a blog. So it's like rethinking about how would this work as a blog. And often, you know, in a presentation about a product, you get sort of industry trends up front, and then you get what the product does, and then you get customer case studies at the end. Whereas I think for a blog, it's always interesting to start with, here's something really interesting a customer's doing, and then kind of work backwards from that. Okay, then, well, how do they do that? Oh, it's because this product does that. And why are they doing it? It's because, you know, this is the trend that's happening. So it's like almost turning it on its head. So yeah, I think that's quite a nice challenge to work out how you're actually going to structure the story.
I think thinking about the ones the events that have been good for me, and I agree, I think it's that thing where, as well as seeing, you know, some of the individuals and the personalities in the client's business, so that when you're writing something, you can sort of make it sound like them. You know, if you're right, you know, if the blog post is going to be by the person that presented the presentation, then you can kind of begin to, you know, a turn of phrase, begin to work that in. But it's that thing where you get those other interesting people, those other examples, when their customers come on stage, or something else, when they get a random keynote, you know, like one of the ones I wrote up, I think it's the same company actually, but I ended up writing a piece about, here's what we learnt from when this famous Olympic medalist was talking to us about sales and marketing, and here's what we learnt from that, you know, and let's work that back into our own messaging and kind of reverse engineer it. But it gives you that chance to get other voices involved, you know, and all of those people, and I kind of get the sense of, I think also, you know, as you were saying, when you hear them talking with their customers, you get an idea of what those, you know, how those people make decisions, and how they refer to things. I remember being at a roundtable event with big blue chip IT people, and the way that they were talking about, you know, how they were going to use their rationale for using this kind of cloud infrastructure, you know, that kind of cloud structure, was much more emotional and less logical than you would have been given to believe when you're thinking, oh, well, these are, you know, these are CIOs, and so they think about the world in this way. And actually, a lot of it was emotional, a lot of it was felt.
It's so good, I think, when you're at an event like that and you see that kind of thing happening firsthand, because I'm sure we've all been on projects where you're getting briefed in by like a salesperson or a product expert or somebody at your client, and you know they'll tell you sort of third hand how these interactions go. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, oh, you know, you just always hear this second hand account of how customers behave from somebody else, and so to see it actually happening in the flesh and either confirming or denying those stories is so valuable, not just for writing that event, but just for like writing anything that touches that sector. It just gives you such better context for it.
Yeah, and I think and it doesn't just influence that piece, does it? You know, you go on and you can refer back to that in future, and so it makes you, I think, a better writer for that brand forever, effectively, rather than just about this piece. So marketers, invite us to stuff, because not only you'll get more value content, value from the work that you're doing, but we'll write better stuff for you forever, and that's a promise. So, George, why don't you kick us off with some top tips for writing client events? You're our resident expert blog writer about client events.
Oh gosh, I wouldn't call myself that. Okay, top tips. Yeah, pretty broad. Let me think of one. So, I can tell you, this is one that actually helped me quite recently, is particularly for the mammoth kind of events like you were talking about, Fiona, with your week-long stint. I think when you have a big event, it's really good to know what to focus on, whether it's just for helping you take notes or when you come to write the piece later. I think if you're ever attending an event, it's really good to ask the client, so like, you know, what is the focus here? Because they're going to have an agenda, right? I mean, they're not just putting on this event to feed people nice food. They've got something they want to communicate to an audience. Having that conversation with them can really help you go in looking at the right things and not just trying to feverishly note down absolutely everything that happens to you for like 5 days straight, which is, you know, quite tough. Just gives you something to focus on. That's really important, I think.
Cool. Fiona, have you got a top tip?
It's to be very organised. So if you're not sure of what the venue's going to be like, or, you know, what the format's going to be like of the event, is to talk to your client to understand, you know, what's the room going to be like? Where am I going to be sitting? You know, am I going to be able to hear everything from there? You know, how am I going to capture notes? Will I be able to type, or, you know, do I have to be silent? You know, what's my contingency plan for if something fails? So it's just being very organised about how you're going to approach the project, I think.
And I think that's that communication is absolutely key. But it's doing it, you know, ahead of time as well, I guess, because if the client is also the person that has organised and is running the event, and this often is the case, you know, is the marketer whose job is to make this stuff go smoothly, the last thing they want to be doing 10 minutes before the event starts is telling you all about what you need to be doing. You know, they have a million other priorities. Yeah. You know, and at that point, I like to be sort of everything set up, I'm fully briefed. And actually, if I can lend an extra pair of hands to make the event go smoothly, I'd much rather be going to the marketer offering to help with something rather than, you know, as long as it doesn't interfere with the work, you know, but that rather than being another draw on their time.
See, I definitely was the bad guy in this situation not too long ago. I'm sitting here listening to you say that, thinking like, oh God, in my defense, it was, I had only learned I was going to this event on quite short notice, and I felt so bad. I had to pull the client aside about 15 minutes before it started and going, so what's your focus here? And I could just, I had to do it, didn't I? But yeah, I don't think he was happy with me, but it's fine.
It's a learning point.
I think the important thing was, because I asked that question, the piece turned out better. And that's what's important, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, I mean, I would say is it is so important to be really clear about the brief and not be afraid to ask, you know, all the questions, but sometimes the really dumb questions as well, you know? Are you expecting, you know, is this a piece that says, we had an event and it was a really great event, you should have been there, and here are some things that you missed?
Yeah.
Or are you not referring to the event at all and you're just creating a piece of content from the same source? Maybe you don't even mention their event, or you just mention it in passing. You know, and is the piece from the brand? Is it from, if you have a guest speaker, are you, you know, is it the guest speaker's byline and are they then a guest blog poster as well? Or is it somewhere in between, where you're from someone in the client's organisation saying, I went to this event and I heard so-and-so speak and they said this. Mm. You know, and how are you framing it? is it a summary? How much license do you have to pull out that story? You know, get those expectations out on the table really early on.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's really important to understand these sorts of things. And also, there's some of this sort of stuff that you will just know if you know the client quite well. You sort of, you know what their brand voice is like, you know what kind of things they're expecting. But I've been asked to write these sort of event write-ups in a lot of different ways that I wouldn't expect. So I've had ones, for instance, where, you know, they just want to get straight to business. They just literally want to rattle off the agenda and just really be concise with it. Then I've had other ones where they've sort of said, oh, can you include like a bit of spiel at the beginning about, you know, what events were going on the day and sort of like important things in the news and like the mood and stuff. And, you know, I'm running to try and grab a paper on my way out of the event, so I sort of have something to read up on and link back to. But, you know, people want to sort of include all kinds of different levels of detail. And so I think these are all questions that absolutely should be asked, whether they seem like a dumb question or not. It's, you know, it's worth asking, I think.
Cool. Do you have any other tips that you'd like to share?
I think one that I would add, this is a bit of a shameless plug of a blog I did recently about writing events, but a little tip from that, you got me thinking about, Fiona, when you mentioned about asking sort of where you're going to be sitting in the room, is to, this is definitely one to sort out ahead of time, is to really think, if you are going to record the audio from a conference, is to really think about what microphone type is in your recorder. If it's like a handheld recorder or whatever, because if you're using certain types of mic, they will be absolutely useless from any range that isn't right in the speaker's face, and probably not very well equipped for the kinds of events we're talking about. So that's something to consider. If you're stuck on that, do search that blog out.
We'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Very good.
Fiona, do you have any more tips you'd like to add?
Yep. Make sure you can actually get into the building. one of the things that nearly scuppered me at that big event I was talking about before Christmas is that it was being held in the client's own offices, and they had very, very complicated lifts, which were operated on some kind of touchscreen, and the card went with it and all of this. And I nearly didn't get to the first keynote that I was meant to be writing up because I couldn't make the lift work. So there you go. Make sure you can actually get into the
event. Well, at least it wasn't a tech event.
Oh, yeah.
I think my last one from me would be just don't be afraid to suggest content as well. You know, you may go into the thing with your brief and it's fairly clear, and they'll say, we want 3 blog posts based upon these 3 sessions, 1, 2, 3, and that's fine. But keep your ears open. Because, I mean, there was one that I was in where it wasn't the main focus of anything they wanted to talk about. But I could instantly see that the information they were sharing was getting lapped up by the people in the room, and that everybody was going, we've never heard this before. This is great. Have you got, you know, that thing where everyone, you know it, the moment that people start putting their hands up and go, you're sharing the slides to this, right? Right, you are sharing the slides. Can we get the slides? Mm. You know, okay, there's details here that they want. And actually, there was a whole load of stuff. And I was like, you know what? If you wanted, you could do a whole ebook on this stuff. If you wanted, you could gate it, you know, whatever. But it's going to go back and say, there's an ebook's worth of content there on that subject. And based upon, you know, it's up to you whether you would want me to write that up or not. But you're based upon what's in the room, what people said, the reaction, you know, that's something that your clients and your customers are interested in. And I think, you know, going with an open mind, you can actually add some value for your client. It's another way of saying it, upsell, isn't it? But okay, well, remarkably, we are out of time already. That's as much time as we have for this episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, do please feel free to email us at podcast@radix-communications.com. You can also tweet us, find us on Twitter at radixcom, or find our website, radix-communications.com. You can sign up for our monthly email newsletter there. You get the latest copywriting tips and insights. Next time, time, we'll be talking about how to get the best value for money from your copywriter and your content. So again, any questions or suggestions or things that you'd like us to address in that, please do get in touch. So until then, cheerio.
Goodbye.
Bye.